bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good afternoon to you and yours. This is The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire filling in for Choice Woodman today, sitting alongside Chris Sneed and the one and only Ben Corman across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us, taking care of us on the program. Ton to get to today, including some Texas Tech baseball. We'll get into some Texas Rangers baseball, Houston Astros baseball, possibly some Texas Tech football. We've got your question of the day on the way. I've got a bunch of baseball stats to try to make you feel better, but we're going to start with this. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up?
How are you, Ben? Better day?
Yeah.
Because it would be hard to be worse than yesterday.
No.
You were.
It hasn't been a great day, but I mean,
it would be hard to be worse than yesterday.
Here's what I learned yesterday. I learned that I'm not a nice person. My show sucks, and that I should be nicer to. I was told this. These are all things I've told throughout the day. So I was told, you're really not a nice person, are you? Oh, okay. Told on the chat line that my show sucks. I was told that I should be kinder to people who are less fortunate than me. So with all that, I am absolutely going to flip the script. And today is a great day. And I am going to be the positive side of everything.
The positive side of everything?
Everything.
Pineapple and pizza.
I mean, you know what? Some people like fruit. And
you like fruit.
I like fruit. I like pineapple.
And that's where you're stopping the positivity.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, no, I'm just asking. That's where that particular positivity starts.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, pineapple on pizza. I mean, like, some people like pineapple.
Sure.
They shouldn't be shunned for that.
I mean, there's many things we could shun them for.
Why would you want to shun people?
Why would I want to shun people? Because some people need to be shunned. But that's not what we're doing right now, because Texas Tech baseball played a two-game series against the number 2 team in the country, lost both games. This is not fun stats.
You played your tail off this weekend, this midweek against the number 2 team. You should be, I mean, super happy with the way that you performed in front of two really raucous crowds. Cade McGee's home run was impressive in the ninth. I mean, how impressive was that home run?
Yes. The pitch before, though.
What about it?
1 foot either way and 2 feet either way, and you're going back to back.
Yeah, boy, what a great diving grab that was by the second baseman.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great about propping them up on the number 2 team in the country.
That kid made an outstanding play. I mean, that ball was hit. I mean, that was a missile. And that kid made an outstanding play. I mean, you've got to reward the effort by the second baseman. That was a plus play.
It was a plus play.
Yeah.
Against you, which makes it a double minus.
Yeah.
That being said,
I mean, the ball was that ball was just, it was struck really well.
Just not well enough.
I mean, he tried really hard.
Did try really hard. And you are trying really hard, and I'm going to give you credit for that. You lost both games by a combined 1 run each.
Yeah.
On the road.
I mean, I feel good coming out of Arkansas because I saw a team yesterday. I thought the team was going to lose 11-0. They
both of us did.
They 100%. Thought were going to. They played very well. They had, you know, really unfortunate, you know, time to have a hit batter, but I'm fairly pleased with the way that this Red Raider team has played baseball this season. I'm tipping my cap to them.
I don't know that I'm quite tipping my cap, but I'm also not walking around outside saying that the sky is falling.
Oh, the sky is actually a really nice day outside. It's kind of crisp, cool air. Really nice, you know, some high, wispy cirrus clouds outside. It's a nice day.
We could keep that this weekend. I'd be okay with that.
Oh, we need moisture. We need the moisture.
It can hold off for a four-hour window for me.
We've got to have the moisture. I mean, and you know, the Lord gives when he gives.
He does. And as Matt Ernst has said many times, Lubbock, Texas gets about 25 inches of rain a year. You should be here the 3 days that it happens.
Yeah.
And that could be what we're looking at this weekend. I haven't actually looked at the ahead totals for what we're expecting, but all of West Texas, from Lubbock all the way down to Midland, Odessa, going to be getting some of the wet stuff this weekend.
Yeah, they're calling for a chance for maybe an inch and a half in Midland. We're gonna have a chance to work on our ball security in Midland this weekend. That's gonna be you have to look at the bright side of all these things. You'll really get a chance to test out your run game. Your run defense will get an opportunity to work on that. You'll get to check your ball security. You can play with wet footballs and see how that operates. You know, how does that change your game planning? You have to look at the upside of all these things.
And your backup quarterback is beginning of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And your third string guy getting those opportunities.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, people are talking about the fact that, well, there's big tailgates and everything planned. Well, guess what? You get a chance to wear that heavy winter coat one more time that you thought you were going to put away this weekend. You get to bring it back out. I mean, I got a new sweatshirt for Christmas that I really haven't had a chance to break out, and I might get a chance to wear that on Sunday. Steve. So I'm excited.
How have you not had a chance to break out a nice sweatshirt?
Because we haven't had an overly super cold winter. It wasn't super cold.
No, but you can put a t-shirt over a sweatshirt.
No, it's okay.
No, you could. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like early Saturday morning? Oh, yeah. Windows were open and I was sitting in shorts and a t-shirt with a sweatshirt over the top.
Yeah.
And that was
and you know, think about the bright side for, you know, if they play baseball on Saturday, if the weather and it's going to be a high in the high 50s, you get a chance to go to one of the local merchandise folks, and they'll probably have all their winter stuff at a discount, and you could get a really cool cold weather item for somewhat cheap. You just got to look at the bright side of all these things.
I didn't say that this was a bad. I'm talking about why you haven't put on your sweatshirt yet.
I just haven't had a chance to wear it.
You've chosen not to wear.
I just haven't had a chance. Really, you haven't had an opportunity.
Saturday morning feels like a great day to do that.
Yeah.
Open up the windows, get a nice cross breeze through your house.
Yeah.
Get some coffee going. Sit down on the porch, enjoy some of the weather that's coming through, and have some coffee.
I can't do that because I have a pergola, and so I don't have a covered awning. But I actually am thinking about getting some sort of a cover over my pergola. I might be looking and, you know, hiring a person to help me with that project.
I would not be a person to hire for that.
Ben, you in that? You in that guy? I mean, you do that for a wage? Okay.
Does he have to supply the lumber?
No.
You'll supply the tools?
I just need the expertise in the carpentry.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah. I am not the person to look for that.
Nice.
I've got some history that's about to happen.
I have a minor in history, so let's do that.
I think it's about to happen. I don't think it's happened yet. I think it's about to happen. Yeah, about to happen.
Well, it'll happen probably in about 5 minutes.
Do you know the history I'm talking about?
Probably.
Okay. Well, then, for the people that don't know, I will share it with them.
Yeah. You mentioned it this morning, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
I did not know. I did not know this little tidbit of history this morning when we did this day in sports history.
Well, I think I know what you're about to say.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling through your lunch hour on the Bottom Line at 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for choice. Sitting alongside Chris and Ben, hanging out with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Rangers currently up 1-0 over the Detroit Tigers in Detroit, top of the first. It was a very nice home run to get the Rangers a 1-0 lead.
Simeon got one middle in, and he did what you should do with that, and that is deposited over the left field fence.
So I promised you some history.
History me.
And you're a big fan of Texas Rangers history, right?
I am.
And you're a big fan of baseball history.
I am.
Well, this falls into both of those categories.
Okay.
Because now as we head to the bottom of the first inning, who is making their major league debut today?
Jack Leiter.
And we all know who Jack Leiter is. Rangers first round draft pick a couple of years ago.
Son of Al Leiter.
Son of Al Leiter, major league baseball pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And also his uncle.
Mark Leiter.
Mark Leiter, Major League Baseball pitcher.
Who's...
Go ahead.
Whose son is also...
Mark Jr.
Yeah.
Is in his fifth season in the Major Leagues.
Yeah.
In just about, we'll say, 2 minutes from now, give or take a little.
Major League Baseball history will be made.
When Jack makes his very first pitch,
mm-hmm.
it will make Al and Mark the first Major League Baseball brothers to each have a son who made it to the show. It's not just brothers making it to the show.
Yeah.
It's not just father's son making it to the show.
It's now uncles
but brothers
and nephews.
And uncles and nephews make it to the show.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that, you know, the Alouz didn't have anything like that happen. You start thinking of all the Negroes, guys like that.
Alomars?
The Alomars.
The Bonds.
Well, Bobby didn't have another son.
No, but there wasn't anybody else in that tree.
Well,
Barry hasn't had it. His kid hasn't.
Well, but Bobby, I don't think Bobby's brother made it to the bigs either. So what I'm asking, I'm saying it's like, did the Alou brothers have sons? And one did that made it to the show. I had two sons that made it to the show. Here we go.
And
it's official now because he started his motion.
Oh, how about a 96 mile an hour fastball?
Yeah.
Bottom low of the zone.
It wasn't a get me over, that's for sure.
That was not a get me over. That was not a spot.
Oh, he threw that ball.
And they kept that because that one's probably going to. That's probably going to
Cooperstown because now it becomes a. That's an artifact right there.
You know.
And it's sad because he doesn't get to keep his first major league pitch.
No, but he gets to keep the first strikeout. They'll make sure he gets, oh, wow, 88 right in the same spot almost.
Hey, throw that one out too. I'm going to keep that one.
We're not going to be doing play-by-play the whole time.
Why not?
Because Eric Nadel's doing a much better job than we could.
He gets
You're the best around.
No,
Jamie's
Eric
got
Nadel.
Such a nice singing voice. I really like when we hear Jamie sing. Wow.
Ooh.
And he just got good morning, good afternoon, and good night on 98 mile an hour slider that was out of the zone. And it was called strike. So I don't think any Rangers fans are going to complain about that because that umpire understood the situation. That's why you have to like that. And there's Al.
Al, very happy guy now.
He should be.
You know,
three pitch strikeout. He's gonna get this done on 540 pitches. It's gonna be great.
He's never going to give up a hit ever. He's gonna the scout. Yeah.
The strike streak is broken. Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, he had to throw a ball at some point.
And, you know, you can't make them all strikes because then everybody's swinging at every pitch. You gotta make them think.
Yeah.
So Texas Rangers sitting atop the AL West. Houston
at
10-9. Sitting at the bottom of the AL West.
At like 6-10.
12.
12.
Wait, no.
Is it?
Hang on.
Is it 6-10?
Give me 25 seconds. Hang on, because it's not 6-10. It is grand total of 6-14.
Oh wow!
For the Houston Astros.
Wow.
And four of their wins have come against the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, and
another one is a no hitter.
I think that's good for Houston. You know, to feel like they've had success, even though they're having a really bad year, they've had success against the top team in their division.
Sure.
So, I mean, everyone kind of wins.
And they're getting Justin Verlander back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Making his season debut. That's going to help some of their problems.
And now Al Leiter's giving up his first major league hit.
Well, every other one, you want to go strikeout, hit, strikeout, hit, strikeout, hit?
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
That's
yeah, because then you're out of the inning with just two singles every inning.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a possibility still. Anyhow, so
I'm not opposed to it.
If you were an Astros fan, and I know you're not, But you're a baseball fan. You've had teams that started this cold before that had higher expectations. Are you looking for the panic button?
No. I'm just hoping they all have fun.
You're all hoping they have fun.
Yeah. I mean, they're Major League Baseball players. They should be able to have fun.
These are professional athletes, though.
Yeah.
They are paid a significant portion of salary to go out there and perform. And I would not consider 6-14 performing up to the expectations that the Astros fans had.
Yeah, you're right. They're probably disappointed. I would think so.
Would you be looking for the panic button?
No.
You would not be?
No, it's still April.
I didn't say pushing the panic button. I'm saying looking for it. Making sure you know where it is.
Yeah.
Checking your pockets for the keys for the lock that's on top of the panic button.
You know,
making sure you've got this kind of information here.
As Chuck has told me that, you know, that many people have said you can't win a division in April. You can lose it, but it's April 18th.
It is April 18th. Lots of baseball still to be played.
You still have 2 more weeks of baseball to play in April.
Are you or are you not one, though, that has said, well, you can't win a division title in April, you can lose one?
I have said that, but it's been pointed out to me that many other people said that, too. I don't think I ever heard any of them, but...
Real question. How much Under Armour gear are you getting rid of from your closet when we switch to Adidas?
I think Ben has I have a whole rack of Under Armour gear, and then, you know, and I look at the bright side of this. I get to refresh my Texas Tech apparel section here in June. And yes, the answer to your question is probably somewhere north of
a couple of racks.
This is probably north of 60 garments.
Now you can still wear them. You just can't wear them to work.
I can still wear them to work. There's nobody
There's nobody at the office that's going to give you a sign.
No. I will. You know, I've got probably 3 Under Armour pullovers, Alumni Association pullovers. I've probably got. Well, you know what? Not all of my Alumni Association shirts are Under Armour. I think I've got 4, but I've got like 6 that are not. Callaway.
Okay. Shelly chimes in off the Gates Learning Center chat line. She's rocking her sweatshirt today from the Alumni Association.
Nice.
Very solid sweatshirt.
That's awesome. I'm glad. Thank you for your membership, Shelly, and I appreciate you being one of us.
Pergola Problems, horse name.
Pergola Problems.
Pergola Problems. Okay.
Pergola Problems.
Horse name.
That is a horse name. I think it's a very good one. Perhaps next year. Pergola Problems will have an opportunity to make it into the Derby.
In your positive mood?
Yeah.
Sneed, can you please power rank all of Chuck's attributes that you enjoy the most?
You know what? I think that, one, Chuck is a great friend. He really is. Chuck, too, says what he means. You don't ever – he doesn't mince words. I think the fact that he's a diligent worker is tremendous. He is loyal to a fault. He's an outstanding salesman. I mean, he could go up to Alaska and sell out of ice makers real fast. And he's an involved person. He's community minded. I think he's a tremendous broadcaster, and He does his homework. I think Chuck doesn't get enough credit for the amount of research he puts into the broadcast that he does for the Lady Raiders. I mean, he does a tremendous amount of work. When I go do baseball when I would fill in for Texas Tech before they got someone that actually knew what they were doing, I literally would be looking up the rosters of the team that we were playing that morning, and I think Chuck is a dedicated husband, father, and grandfather. I've been Big Paw. I mean, so he's Chuck's top drawer. He's one of my favorite people. He really is.
He also can show up to work every morning at 6 o'clock, and that's harder than you think.
Absolutely, and you know it's hard to be excited and be chipper at 6 a.m. and he does it.
And he fathered Clint Scott. Or at least they came from the same family tree somewhere.
Okay.
It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good afternoon, you and yours. This is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, who will be along shortly, or longly, as the case may be, depending on which way you want to describe things. As he will be taking you through the rest of the show at about 2 o'clock today. Sitting alongside Jamie Lynn, Ben Foreman across the way. So glad you're back, Jamie. And I do need you to do us all a favor. Will you confirm that nobody drank your Mountain Dew while you were gone?
I don't have any here.
That's why it couldn't be drunk. We were accused a lot of drinking all your Mountain Dew while you were gone.
I don't keep any here.
Welcome back. Glad you're back. Wish it was under better circumstances after a 2-4 road trip with the Red Raider baseball team. But as discussed on the morning drive earlier, I'm not walking outside today saying the sky is falling. I'm not walking around with my head down today. I'm not walking around thinking that this is the worst baseball team to ever play baseball. I'm not thrilled with the outcomes. I'm not excited about the outcomes. I'm not saying that you were the better team and lost two games. I do think you lost to the better team twice. But I'm also not looking at this and saying that you didn't compete, you didn't belong on the field, that you weren't some bonehead plays away from winning these two games against the number two team in the country on the road, against some really good pitching, against a really good lineup. I can't just be dark and gloomy today. Disappointed, but not dark and gloomy.
Yeah, you are going full on moral victories.
I'm not, but I'm all because it stinks to lose to Arkansas twice, and it stinks to be 2-4 on this 6-game road trip.
It just stinks to lose.
Well, yeah, that should go without saying. But I'm also not just like saying that we should fire everybody and kick everybody off the team, blow up Dan LaField because, you know, season's over. Because it's not. You got 17 games left this year, minimum. And that's if you don't make the Big 12 tournament, which does anybody right now honestly can tell me with a straight face that you're not going to make the Big 12 tournament?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So you're at least looking then at 19 games this year on this season. I also don't think that those are the last games you're going to be playing either. This is a good team, not a great team, not a perfect team. But it's not a bad team. And I'm tired of people treating it that way.
Boy, there's a lot there. I think I agree with most of your sentiments. How people treat the team is that's their choice. Also, you know, sooner or later, it's a results game, right? And you got to get results. You got to win games, and I guess you can feel better feeling like, hey, we're playing these teams close. We're just and that's fine. What I like about that is it says to me, you're not that far off from turning those into wins. Now, that doesn't make me like, okay, so don't feel bad about it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it gives me hope that because you're not that far off, then if you can, you know, get to that point where you're playing your best baseball at the right time, maybe some good things can happen. Mm-hmm. And you're not that far off from playing really good baseball. It just feels like, man, I don't know if it's every game or, you know, a lot of times just one bad inning on the mound or one bad defensive play, you know, whatever. There's just a bunch of them that those scenarios, those situations where you feel like, man, if you could change one play in the game, all those things. It's not like you look at it and just feel like, man, we got it handed to us. We didn't belong on the same field with them. this team's so void of talent or anything like that. I don't think that's there. I just feel like you're just a little bit off. The frustrating part is
you're just a little bit off.
Is we've said it a lot. We've seen it a lot this year, and you've found different ways to be just a little bit off. And then there are certain situations where, I mean, you know, for example, it just hurt. It stings a little bit more when one team just out hits you a little bit. That's one thing, or out pitches you a little bit, but when it's errors that cost you, or it's bad base running that cost you, or, you know what I'm saying, those kind of things, mm-hmm. or an inning where you don't give up a hit, yet you give up a run because you give up four free passes. To me, you didn't get beat by the other team. You beat yourself. And that's why those kind of games are really frustrating.
This off the Instagram Center channel, Jeff, stop, Jeff. You acted like yesterday was terrible with Snead, and now you're acting like moral victory, rah, 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 just stop. Here's the thing. I thought yesterday you were going to get blown out in game two. That you used all your bullets going into game one with Arkansas, and you ended up coming up short, the way you came up short, leaving that game 7-0. And that's why I thought it was going to be 11-2 in a run rule game in the seventh inning, and you guys were coming home early.
Well, not if it was 11-2.
Or 12-2, excuse me. 12-2, my apologies. It's 10 runs after 7.
Math.
Matt, yeah, we don't need to talk math. Math's terrible. You had a chance to win the game yesterday. You had a chance to win the game Tuesday. You had a chance to win the two games you lost against TCU on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You had good chances to win those games. And, yeah, did I do a little bit of looking during the game yesterday when it was going back and forth a little bit? I did. Did I pull up some numbers today that I'll bring up later that have, like, solidified the I'm a little sick of this today? Yeah. I also walk in every morning after the game, and I get to read the chat line during the game from what happened during the game. And I really need to quit doing that because I know what the chat line is like during a game. It's nothing in the bottom of the first, and you give up a sing, and all of a sudden, everybody in the chat line that is posting on the chat line during the game is saying that this team is terrible and our pitchers don't know how to pitch.
Yeah.
And I need to not do that. But I can't help it because it's the first thing I see when I walk in the door.
Yeah, people are going to feel how they want to feel. Don't waste your life trying to change how people feel. That just feels like that there's a... that we know that's coming. Some people are jump off the ledge. Some people are quicker to give extra chances. I think that, you know, for example, you've seen that this fan base, as far as Texas Tech's fan base, is passionate and all the above.
100%.
Okay. I think they're a little quicker to jump off the bandwagon in baseball because people aren't as many baseball fans. And so I think there's a lot of Red Raiders that became really big Tech baseball fans when Tim Tadlock got here and the Red Raiders started going to Omaha, but they're not true baseball people. And so when things start to go wrong, they're like, hey, I'm not really a baseball guy. Why should I care about this team? Because I'm not a baseball guy, and they're not going to Omaha anymore.
Well, I'm going to try to help some people out. Yeah. I got some numbers. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Maybe it makes you feel worse. But we'll show those numbers next about the Texas Tech baseball team here on The Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth, this is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bottom Line continues on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Marky chimes in. Don't you short sell me, Jamie. I'll jump off the ledge if meat judging has a bad outing. And then gives you a winky face.
Okay.
Viva 73, I'm a fan of everything that this Texas Tech. I do believe that the recruiting will get better if they put more money into the baseball program. They need to build a new baseball park where the old Coliseum stood. I have said this since they tore down the Coliseum.
That'd be pretty cool.
It's got to point the same way, and then they can't put anything where the old field was. because I don't want to lose that view.
All right.
Looking onto campus. That's a great view.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have mountains. We've got a very pretty campus, though, so let's use the pretty campus. If we could point the stadium toward mountains, that would be a different story.
Yeah, you will. It's a ways away.
Okay, so, Jamie, you've been covering baseball as long as Tim Tadlock has been the coach at Texas Tech, like on the broadcast, living their schedule day in and day out, almost every single game.
Okay.
Right? Correct. That's a fair statement. And if I were to ask, overall, strength of schedule for the Red Raider baseball team through your time has been the same with regards to scheduling tough opponents, playing them home, playing them on the road, whatever. There hasn't been just one year where it was completely roadkill on your schedule. There hasn't been just a brutal schedule that wasn't a plus or minus, I'd say 10 in the ranking with regards to strength of schedule. But they've all been about the same level of competition year in and year out.
Probably fair.
Going back to 2014, I mentioned this earlier on the morning drive, when you had 17 games left in the schedule, which is where you are sitting now at 26-13 currently, you were 28-11.
Mm-hmm.
I would call that a comparable record. You were a little bit better in 2014 record-wise, but that also doesn't factor in who you were playing next and everything else. But I would say plus or minus five games in this,
mm-hmm,
would be pretty close to what you're looking at.
Yeah, I would tell you I feel like you had you have way more talent now than you had then. I would tell you probably had a bit better internal leadership than
sure,
you have now.
2015, the next year. This was not an Omaha year. This wasn't a regional year. It was a disappointing year. 17 games left of the season, you were 22-14. That's four games worse than you are currently.
Yeah. Well, you didn't make the postseason.
Didn't make the postseason that year.
Mm-hmm.
And 2016, Omaha year, 28-9. A little bit better team. I don't think anybody would argue that 2016 was a team that, when it came in, had high expectations and had a number next to their name almost all year long, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That was a really good put-together roster. 2017, phenomenal year, 30-8.
Phenomenal in the regular season.
True.
Yeah.
2018, 29-8. Phenomenal team.
Mm-hmm.
2019, 23-13. So, I guess the way this works is you're technically two games behind that team because you didn't have the same number of games. But I'd say comparable in the neighborhood of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider 2019 a terrible team.
You went to Omaha.
2021. I skipped 2020 for a very obvious reason. 2021, 27-9. That was a great team. 2022, 27-10. 2023, 27-12. So one game behind your last three years on the win column.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, I couldn't go all the way back to 2014 in these next two stats. I could only go back to 2016. So I got a fair chunk of numbers here. Team batting average currently is .322. That's a pretty good hitting ball club you've got. Now, we've talked about their struggles a lot. Would you like to guess how many team batting averages since 2016 were higher than .322?
Well, probably a couple.
The correct answer is none.
Okay.
You've had a .309 in 2018. You've had a .303 in 2023. And a .290 in 2022. So, statistically, this is the best hitting team you've had. Now, I wouldn't put this lineup compared to some others that we've talked about here.
Yeah, the difference is on those things. I mean, you out-hit TCU last weekend. You out-hit Arkansas this weekend. But you didn't out-hit them with runners in scoring position.
Now, this is where some credence can be given to some struggles for this team. Your team ERA is 5.30. Mm-hmm. That is the highest it has been since 2016. And the next closest is last year, just under 5. Year before, just under 5. But, as you pointed out in the morning drive today, you are missing how many key pitchers that you are expecting big things from right now? Is it 4?
4.
How many starters do you need for a weekend series?
3.
So, the depth that we thought we were going to have at the beginning of the year, you're, instead of it being depth as an opportunity to go to somebody when someone's having a bad day, you're having to use not only on your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but also on one of your midweek starts.
Yeah, you're having to use guys that you didn't expect to use nearly as much and high leverage moments, high leverage moments. Like tie game against the number 2 team in the country on the road. Or, you know,
tie in a game. Hostile environment.
Yeah, tie game on the road at TCU against a conference rival, whatever. I mean, you've taken red shirts off a guy, or one guy, Carson Baugh, to come in and pitch because of the injuries that you have, that you just, the numbers are different now.
And no one's going to make, no one is saying that the injuries are an excuse. They're just a fact of it. They're a factor into why we are so frustrated.
Yeah, but it doesn't make you any less frustrated with the fact that you haven't been able to get the key hits when you needed to, right?
Right.
Because injuries to pitchers don't affect that. But, you know, margin for error would be larger.
And while a 322 batting average is the best you've had, it's not enough to make up that margin of error.
Yeah, you gotta hit in clutch situations.
Jeff, proving that if you only look at stats, you aren't really understanding the game of baseball. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think that the stats are one thing, and they're good. What Jeff's stats tell me is that you have the potential to be a good offense if you can change one thing. If you can start being a better team with runners in scoring position, you got a real shot to be, a really good offense. That's what it says to me. Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses. That's not what I'm trying to do here. And this person's saying excuses are like blank, blank, blank. They're like noses. Everyone has one and they all smell. And I get that. But I'm also not ready to just jump off a ledge with this team. Was I disappointed Tuesday? 100%. Because you were up 7-0 in a game and lost. Even in a game where you were then up 8-7. And I fully expected Texas Tech to go out yesterday and lay a golden goose egg at the feet of Arkansas. And what did I get? I got a performance from some guys that didn't expect to get. The guys kind of picked their chin up a little bit and played some good baseball. Was it perfect? Not even close. I'm not even going to try to blow that amount of sunshine up anybody's behind. But it's not as bad as it has been in the past. And when I'm talking past, I'm talking before you went to Omaha in a year where you didn't make the Big 12 tournament. This team is good enough to be in a regional right now. I anticipate them being in the postseason this season. I'm not packing up a tent and going home because you lost 2 games on the road at number 2 Arkansas. I'm not happy about it. I'm not building a statue that we lost by 1 run each game. But there's a happy middle area here where we can live and enjoy some baseball and go win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3 this weekend against West Virginia. Oh, by the way, number 22 ranked, and oh, by the way, leading the Big 12. There's work to do. You got 17 games to do it. These things can still happen. But if you want to get off the train, tickets get more expensive to get back on.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is time for Tell Me I'm Wrong. Choice Woodman, Jamie Lynn, Ben Poorman here with you. About 30 minutes left in the program. We'll have a secret word here in 15 minutes, as well as a most interesting fact of the day. Jamie.
Yeah, Choice.
I'm going to tell you today that Texas Tech baseball is still going to finish top four in the Big 12 Conference. We've seen people with their hair on fire, sky is falling. You just went through a road trip where you went 2-4 with four losses coming by a total of five runs. You got two series against the best two teams record-wise left at home. And you have two road series against solid teams. But I just still think this team's right on the cusp. And there's two options, really. It can wither because of how tough the games have been, or you see them break through it. And because I am a positive guy, I'm choosing the latter there. And I think you will still see this team, because also the standings, it is a bunched up mess beyond your first couple of teams there.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of teams right there within a game or two of each other. So Texas Tech will finish top four when all the dust settles.
I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. Okay. I feel like the Red Raiders will be above 500 in Big 12 play. Right now you're 9-9. You're in sixth place. Okay. I do not think that Baylor will finish in front of you. And I think there's a good chance that Texas will not finish in front of you. However, a team like Kansas State or UCF, I could see being up there in front of the Red Raiders.
Okay.
So I think you're, again, above 500 in Big 12 play. I think you're somewhere around finishing fifth, maybe sixth where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you finish in the top four.
Tech is a game.
I don't think you're going to West Virginia, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I don't think you're going to be able to overtake those three teams.
Right now you're a game and a half out of fourth place from Texas. You're one game back of Baylor. You are... Oh, man, it's hard when everybody hadn't played the same amount of games. Two and a half out of third place. Right? Do I have that right?
With Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I think you're 2.5 games out of third place. Because you're one win less than them, but four losses less. I think that's it.
I think right, that's
2.5. But anyway, so that's where you said it. There's a lot of baseball to be played. Mm-hmm. A lot. And then the Oklahoma State series, like you've mentioned, I'm not expecting it to happen, but you go there and have success a lot for whatever reason. You've had a lot of success in Stillwater in baseball.
Maybe it's
karma because Josh Holliday's an absolute punk. But
I just feel like the tide will turn. Okay, that's what makes me believe you're going to finish above 500. The tide will turn in a positive direction. There's been, again, you've made some bad luck, but all teams make bad luck for themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like there's been, you know, just so many opportunities that you're close, you're right there, that you're going to have a chance, to turn this thing in the right direction. And, you know, you may not finish in the top four of the Big 12 Conference, but you're still playing good baseball at the end of the season when it matters. So, I think you're absolutely going to be above 500, but I don't think you're going to get to top four.
Okay. Did you see that play?
I did see that play.
Tavares
doubles, ground ball to short. He starts going for third, then realizes he's stuck, tries to get back to the bag. They throw behind him at second. They throw to the third baseman. the third baseman basically trips over Tavares but doesn't tag him.
And he's like running straight up. Was that the third baseman or was that the pitcher?
I think it was the third baseman.
Yeah, you're right. It is the third baseman. I thought it was pitcher just because it was very unathletic.
whipped a swing through with the glove and just never hit him.
Wow. And it was really bad base running to begin with by Tavares, but
then it worked out.
Hey, hit it at the shortstop. What are you supposed to do?
And now the go-ahead run just scored, and they threw it into left field on a ground ball to first.
All right. That's the Tigers we know.
Yes. Bring up Jace.
Bring up Jace. And
he would have made both of those plays.
Jace will be awesome and then realize he needs to go to Texas.
New York. Once.
What?
No. I didn't say anything.
No, I don't think so.
Texas.
That's got to happen, right? Brother's going to go. First free agent contract comes up.
That would be so much fun.
I would love it. Dude, yeah. And surely they would want to play with each other.
I would think so. Yeah.
The possibility came up. All right. Ben, am I wrong? Like Jamie says so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. That's all. I just needed him to agree that you're wrong.
Where do you think Tech finishes?
Fourth at the highest.
So if they're fourth, he's right.
Yeah, if they're fourth, I'm right. I said top four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bobby Hot Dog says, Choice, Hack said earlier you eat scrambled eggs while taking your morning bath. Do you ever cut up Vienna sausages and mix them in with your bath eggs? Bath eggs sounds pretty weird.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
How does Hax know what you're doing when you're taking your bath?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I rarely eat in the bathtub. It has happened before, but not. Normally, it's bath and then go make my eggs. Most of the time, scrambled is like third on the list to me, too. Omelets usually number one, then the bubble or fried eggs second, and then scrambled third. If I'm scrambling, I usually toss it in a tortilla and call it breakfast that way.
Yeah, I'm definitely all in on the scrambled. I never really thought that, that's really dumb on my part. I was going to say, I wouldn't really thought that omelet was a different style than scrambled, but it is.
It obviously, is, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're mixing in the other stuff
sure.
with it.
So. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I am not a fried egg guy.
Not at all.
I don't know what's
you
don't
going like the
on.
Runny
yolk? I don't know what's going on in there, but I am not touching it.
I don't know what's. So, if
on,
you
come
if
on,
you,
Grandma, figure out what you're doing with your eggs.
Get it together. If you missed our little conversation the other day, at the very end of the show, I told how Tuesday, my mother-in-law bought my oldest Neil pink football cleats just so she could recognize him easier on the field.
I can't even believe that you agreed to it, that Neil agreed to it.
Oh, Neil loves it. Jamie ultimately says, figure it out, Grandma, because he does not like the mismatching cleats. I wish I would have seen this, but she texted in right at the end of the show. And her response to that was, tell Jamie to quit acting like a girl. When you're in junior high, their uniforms are crappy. Yes, he's fast, but it's over. By the time I can see him and recognize him, he's already getting the touchdown. And what's so wrong with pink or neon shoes? Bonuses to the kids and grandkids that cater to their grandmother, is what she said. So, that's more what it's about. It's like, gotta keep her happy, you know. I'm fine with regular color cleats, but it didn't. It doesn't bother me out there to see the pink shoes. So.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I just love the first part.
I can
tell Jamie to quit acting like a girl.
Can you just imagine my wife's parents like, hey, we think it would be better if the daughter wore these kind of basketball shoes with her uniform and they didn't match the uniform.
But when I talked to her, she's like, only for football. She's like, I don't like it when Pop and McMillan wear the really bright shoes in basketball.
I mean, it might be the last time we speak to my wife's parents.
Because they've kicked you out of the family for disagreeing with them?
That wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.